Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Brother John. How are you, buddy?
I'm feeling real good.
And I'm feeling good.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. Mm. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I played that song. Feeling good.
That'll keep us both going.
Oh, man, I love that song. Da-da-da-da. Yeah, it's got that huge honking Barry Sax part there, which would sound good on a trombone. I might add, trombone player.
I'll keep that in mind. I'll try to find it and the mouthpiece to go with my horn.
Mm. Thank you. I appreciate that because, man,
okay.
I have a lot of great childhood memories of you playing that trombone, man. Lasses trombone.
Whoa. Oh, yes. That was
that song. That song, for those who don't know, my brother John, when he was just a tyke, we had these uniforms our aunt made us for the Little Dittmer Hayshakers. They were like, I don't know how to describe them. Overalls, I guess, John? Plaid overalls?
Yeah, I mean, they were working drawers for the farm, that's for sure.
God, they'd fall apart in a second on the farm. They were really thin. But anyway, the point was that John played this solo on Lass's trombone. Right, John? Something like that?
That's exactly it. That was embedded. It's like, I can't
part of your DNA.
I can't
part of your DNA. Yeah. So anyway, during that solo, he would surreptitiously reach into the straps of the thing that held his overalls up. There'd be a ring with a string on it, and he'd hook his thumb into that. And then he'd slide down. And every time he slid his slide down on the trombone, his pants legs would come up. Or one of them would come up, as I recall.
Yeah.
And we did that. We performed that at Cedar Hill School, and these girls screamed, John. They actually screamed when you did that.
As if it was yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. The legend of Cougar
Pompadour Daniels.
Yeah, Caker, Cougar Pompadour Daniels. Wow, yeah, that was
a multitude of nicknames depending upon which female you ask.
Oh, man, you're cracking me up. What's the weather like up there in godforsaken wilderness?
We got some good retro weather. It's like it's like I'm getting ready to go over to Sunset Country Club in Caddy in August.
Ooh.
And
that's hot.
It's going to be by the time noon approaches here, it's going to be like we're on the first nine. It's going to be pretty muggy. Right now it's sitting at 80. I think it bottomed out last night at 78, and it's going to get up to 90 here, which means it'll be about 10 degrees warmer. The record is 99. They're saying out at O'Hare it's going to it'll get up to 98 at least.
Whoa. So, wow.
Yeah, and the humidity's up there. I don't know. I'm not a big what I call heat index guy. I'm a guy who believes in let's give me the temp and I can run with that. I can figure the rest of it out for myself.
Same here.
Thanks. We don't need to make a weather breaking news every day with this damn heat index or like in a winter wind chill.
Yeah. No, that's not valid. I agree with you 100%.
So the bottom line is it's going to get very warm. Yesterday I got on my bike a little bit. I anticipate this morning I'm going to get on my bike a little bit more before it gets real hot. And, you know, like I said, I believe in not repelling the weather, but let's embrace it. Let's enjoy it. Let's have memories of the way we used to live when we were kids.
Yeah.
When our father was very thoughtful and gave us a real career building exercise. And basically you go back in shipping, receiving where there's no air conditioning in the company I own you're working for. You're not owner's sons. You're employees. You're back there shipping and receiving. Sweat your ass off, please.
Yeah. I was there. You were there. It was good. Yeah. It's kind of a cool building anyway. We'll talk about that some other time. But, hey, you know what? Shirts. Let's talk about shirts. What shirt are you wearing, bud?
You know what? I can't believe it. I didn't put it on last night because it was a little warm. But I put it on this morning because I laid it right there on bed so I couldn't sit. I've got the mug. I call it the mug shirt because it's got our mugs on it. It's got our faces on it.
Oh, very topical.
In a positive way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, now I'm wearing the first Clark Street Ale House.
Oh, okay.
I love that shirt. It's kind of gunmetal gray. It's nice. And whoa, the colors on this one really came out nice. I don't know. Every once in a while, these things print like pop your eyes out bright, and this is one of them. That's a lovely shirt. We should make a deal so that people can get some of these old ones sometimes, because they are classics, definitely. But John, this brings up another topic related to this. Well, we have a shirt right now at shirt.bro.show.
Get your shirt shit together, okay?
You can also say shit.bro.show and you'll get it too. I love sublinks, sub URLs or subdomains. Yeah. Okay. So, anyways, here's the deal. You go there and you go to shirt.bro.show and you're going to see a shirt that features a friend of ours and a coworker of yours.
Who would that be?
Anya.
Anya. Man, you sing the praises of Anya. I'm a little worried about you.
Your competition? Is that the problem? Because you're crushing on her. You're crushing on her.
Wait a minute.
You are crushing on her?
I treasure her friendship.
Oh, my God. Did everybody hear that? Oh, I treasure her friendship. Oh, my God. I want to puke. I can't believe it.
Hey, look.
You said that out loud, didn't you?
She's a soulmate, okay?
Oh, now that sounds better. Much better. Do you know what that means, by the way, soulmate?
No, I don't. I'm a little worried that I may be overstepping.
What have I gotten myself into? Is this a commitment?
Hey, look. Come on. The way this all started was that I went to my t-shirt drawer, and I noticed I've got my huge stack of Bro Show t-shirts, and I said, you know what? I'm going to deal from the bottom of the deck here. I'm going to go for the bottom one because it's probably one I don't wear that much. And all of a sudden, it's got these two crazy critters on the front of it.
That would be us.
And I thought, well, I picked it. You know, you got to deal with what you've been dealt.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's
so
right.
I put it on and I went to work. And I was kind of eat because I'm a little sensitive. I feel a little nervous wearing my face on my chest.
Self-conscious? Is that the word?
Yeah, I think that's about it. And in addition to the fact, I've gotten kind of, when we decided to do this, I had mixed feelings from my employee, the Center for Humans and Nature, the staff. They said, you know, that's 70s at best, putting a picture of somebody, and then let alone yourself.
Wow.
So I wore it, and I kind of, you know, they're usually a very, they're a positive group, so they're not going to, you know, give me a thumbs down.
No, they do. They get this face look on their face, though.
Yeah. So, but I did notice that we had one employee, Anya, who seemed to kind of gravitate towards the shirt, and I thought, you like the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
There's a person in that's wearing it. And then I thought, well.
Deeper meaning?
Well, I wonder, I said, you know, there's two guys on the shirt, and we've been known to have a little rivalry. I thought,
we've made it a fine art, I think.
Yeah, so I figured, what the hell? The next day, I kind of thought this through and said, I've got to figure a way of broaching this subject in a way which I can maybe get a little more information out of Anya. So I went up to her, and I said, boy, I really appreciate your kind comments yesterday about the shirt. And saying, you know, and I told her, I feel rather sensitive wearing my face on it. And then she kind of busted my bubble a little bit here and saying, well, you know what? The pictures are rather generic. Generic.
Boy, there's a compliment
ordinary.
For you. There's a compliment.
Generic. That means we both, they didn't look like the bros necessarily. They could be any old beat up senior citizen. Or does that mean it's really two cool dudes? I don't know which it was, but then I thought, well, I better kind of back up a little bit on that one. So I think she'd buy it, but I don't think she's buying it because it has your mug on it. It has my mug on it. I think it's because she just likes the design, which is more giving cred to you for the shirt now. So in other words, I don't think it's a heartthrob situation. I think it's a artistic artistic flair.
I must point out that these are not just pictures of us on a t-shirt. It's actually a cartoon. It's you saying something to me.
Oh, yeah. You know, when I'm having you're going to have to let me know what it says because I can't read it upside down. The best of sports, film, and fake news. Yeah, that's what it says. I just read it upside down.
There you go.
Does that make me dyslexic?
No, it does not. It does not. But I think it's important to point out that it's a good thing it turned out the way it did, Because had I won this contest, you would have lost out to a eunuch.
Yeah.
That would have been really soul destroying, I would think. Speaking of soulmates.
Well, you know, the fact is that she did have a few more comments, and then she started saying some French to me. Oh, dear, that was scary.
French?
Yeah, some French expressions, which I was just kind of hanging on every word she said, and I can't remember what they were. But, I'm not crushing on her.
Not crushing on her, but you were transfixed while she spoke French, weren't you?
I was, and...
Ooh, you're like Jamie Lee Curtis in A Fish Called Wanda.
The other thing was that I was kind of on my chair. Anya is German, and I was a little bit on my chair as I was watching the soccer match, the German loss, and my heart just dropped like lead when Germany lost. I'm just kind of empathizing what Anya felt, but I'm not crushing on her. Okay, I'm just letting you know that.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm not crushing on her.
I'm glad to hear that because it sure sounded like it just now.
So,
you got us a sponsor today, John. Who is it?
I just want to let you know. Let's qualify this. When I say I'm not crushing on her, let's tell it like it is. My crush doesn't have a lot of crunch either. So,
is that code for something else? I think that's code.
No, that's broken news.
Broken news. Good one.
But broken news subject to repair.
Oh, hey, really?
We got to have a soap opera element here, okay?
That's optimistic. I like that.
Listen, my urologist has said some very enticing things to me, and he can get some
Viagra. Is that what he said?
Then I thought, does he really know my body that well?
Maybe not.
All of a sudden, I'm hanging on the words of my urologist. Okay, that's another story.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, we do have a sponsor.
Intriguing.
Leave it at that. To be continued.
Next week. All right, go. Who's our sponsor?
Promonti Brothers, last week we talked about, and we mentioned as a sponsor, but I really never had an opportunity. I kind of dropped the ball and didn't give some of the details of the sandwich.
Hey, John, I scheduled them right before our anchor topic, so you can really let it rip. How about that?
Yeah, well, the thing is that if you go to Pittsburgh, as I mentioned last week, and you come back, and you are going to be asked the question, did you have one of those Promonti Brothers sandwiches?
Yep.
And if you answer no, guess what they're going to say? You didn't go to Pittsburgh. Sorry.
Sahur. Loser.
Sahur.
Okay. All right, so
here's the sandwich. The sandwich is basically...
Hey, John. Aren't we going to talk about that between a little farther down?
Yeah, well, that way we get a chance to drop it again. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. That's good. I think it would just say the name of it, that people know what's coming up.
Yeah, just like we did last week, so we can forget it again. And because that's
good. Oh, you think we're going to forget it?
You bet. You're the producer. Okay. It's on you. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. What are the odds? What are you going to give me a number?
I don't want to give odds. I'm going to just put the pressure on you. You better damn remember to remember because I am not going to remember the sandwich. So you better be ready to tell me. Give me the cue when it's necessary. Okay.
Sir, yes, sir.
Okay.
All right, let's move on. So now our next little piece of opening news is, John, I believe you have a bridge for sale.
I have a bridge for sale, and quite often that term is used when you think you're trying to rip me off. I have a bridge for sale. But guess what? The city of Chicago does have a bridge for sale. It's the historic Chicago Avenue Bridge. And the thing is that by federal law, they're required to put the bridge for sale.
This is crazy, though. You told me about this before, and I still can't get it straight in my head. Explain it to me one more time.
Okay, well, the bridge qualifies in the National Register of Historic Places. So as a result, federal law requires them, if they're going to tear the bridge down, they first have to offer the bridge for sale, put a notice out, and have 30 days, and the price point in this bridge is really sweet.
What?
You can get this bridge for... nothing free. It's a free bridge.
Whoa!
So that's the good news.
The bad news?
The bad news is that you've got to cart the bridge off, and it's like, yeah. Let's just say that you can't stick this in your hip pocket and run away. Okay.
Now you did a site inspection on the bridge, and we have pictures up.
Yeah, you know, the thing is that I believe in, if we're going to have some subject matter, if at all possible, I like to get close to the matter. And so what I did is I jumped on my bike yesterday after work and said, what the hell? Let's just go over and take a gander at this bridge. And I'm kind of suited for it. I got my bicycle helmet on, which is a good substitute for
hard
hat.
Yeah.
And, hey, I'm ready to rock. So I took a look at it. It's a bridge I've gone over several times. Actually, I've had some interesting experiences going over it to where I've fallen once in front of the bridge, and I've actually almost fell as I was going down a set of steps on the other end of it the last one time, too.
Jesus.
So let's just say it's a memorable bridge for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just at this point, you know, we've talked before about the crumbling infrastructure of the U.S., and this is just a classic. This bridge was constructed in 1914. Now, it's one of these Basquiat bridges. I probably pronounced that wrong. Which they're the ones that they open based upon like a seesaw.
In the middle. You know, they open in the middle.
And it's all based upon weights. It isn't like they – so what they do is it's like a fulcrum that they basically take those weights and push them all the way to the down, and you have the seesaw going up. So
– nice.
Yeah, so listen.
I love these bridges. I've got a soft spot in my heart for these, but I do not want this one. And by the way, I noticed you did a site inspection on the bridge, but you didn't do that for Stormy Daniels. She was in town, and you neglected her. Was that out of delicacy to someone else? Perhaps someone whose name starts with an Anya? Did I say that out loud? I meant to say A.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I didn't.
I can neither
comment on that.
I can neither confirm nor deny. Is that it?
That's about it. Soap opera to be continued.
Okay, I'll go along with that. But this bridge, we're trying to find out if this was in any movies. We could say it's a movie star. You can buy a movie star. Or you can take a movie star right off the river.
That this bridge is constantly being viewed as part of the architectural tour of Chicago. This is about as far north on the north branch of the Chicago River. This is located 800 north. So consider the loop to be 00. This bridge is located 800-800, so it's 800 north, 8 blocks north and 8 blocks west of the loop. So, I mean, it's been
– wow.
It isn't like it's tucked away, you know, out in the far reaches of Chicago. This is a bridge to be seen. In fact, in the background of one of the pictures there is the former Montgomery Ward catalog warehouse.
So yeah.
In other words, back in the day when rather than getting on the internet to buy stuff, what you would do is you would get either a Monkey Ward – or a Sears catalog.
That's true.
And that is where the warehouse is, where they kept the catalogs manufactured, actually printed and produced.
Our outhouse had a Sears catalog nailed. You nail them right to the wall, and then you tear a sheet off and wipe your ass. Boom. That's true. True story.
But yeah, you know, once you get your new catalog, what are you going to do with the old one? Let's
nail it to the wall of the outhouse.
Outhouse and make an alternative use of the paper.
Okay. I thought it was good stuff. Of course, you got ink on your asshole, but that's okay.
Yeah,
you're not looking at it.
Yeah, you're not going to try to read it, so don't worry about it.
No. Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah.
Okay. So I think that bridge is you can go just, you know, Chicago Avenue Bridge and check it out. And
we got links. We got links. Get your bid in there. It's not a bridge too far.
No.
It's just up in Chicago, not far at all. So anyway, we got some follow-up too, though. Hey, what about our buddy Gutierrez?
Luis Gutierrez.
Luis? Yeah.
Luis is the representative here to part of Chicago. And he had recently announced that he's going to run again as a congressman. So there's a lot of speculation as to what Luis would be doing, including the possibility because of running for president. So, I mean, this man is this man has made a mark in a variety of ways.
Yes, he seems like a good guy.
His roots are Puerto Rico. He actually has a second home down there. So what he did is he announced that what he's going to do is he's going to relocate out of Chicago, go back to his roots, and his mission for the rest of his life is to bring back Puerto Rico the way it should be and probably further than it was before.
He was born in Chicago, then during high school, I believe, early high school, went back to Puerto Rico because his dad wanted to know, hey, you need to get a good taste of your culture, buddy. Went there, and then he came back again. So
he
can't stop.
I think it's worth mentioning that that Chicago, and Rahm likes to make this point, was the one of, was the first city to react to the hurricane and have stuff down there. Obviously, there's a federal assistance that was before that, but when it comes to voluntary help that was provided in a variety of ways, Stanton, Chicago, and Luis was a significant part of that happening. So,
yeah, well, this is good news. I think this is good news for Puerto Rico for sure. And we got bad news, unfortunately, too, though, our team.
Yeah, geez. You know, we're kind
FIFA,
of
our FIFA team.
When it comes to the World Cup, I mean, we went for the gusto, picked the severe underdog, Iceland, which we felt wouldn't be needed. At least they could get to the knockout round. And they came within what they needed was a victory. They lost the last match they lost.
Yeah.
And so as a result, a victory of that match is a big if, because we know in soccer that a one goal could be mean you're getting destroyed, or it could mean, you know, it was edgy. So, but the fact is that they didn't win. And as I've already mentioned, I kind of, I just felt bad. I don't want to talk about my heart dropping as a result of Germany. That would be kind of, I don't know why I thought that. I'll leave that up to speculation.
Yeah. Okay.
But Germany lost, and they are the 2014 champ.
Yes, they are.
And so, you know, they're not even going to make it to the knockout round. So what we've got to do is we got to come up with a new team to root for in the knockout round, which is consists of 16 countries.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we've come up with a choice that is quite popular here in the United States.
For many reasons.
Yes. It's a neighboring, you know.
Number one, it's a neighbor.
It is a neighbor.
It's not Canada.
And neighbor, you might find that hard to believe with some of our actions as a country. I won't want to name any specific individual that's causing this.
No, we refuse that. We refuse to do that.
But it's Mexico.
It is Mexico, and I feel very good about this.
I do, too.
Well, I live in Texas. We're right next door to these folks. And, you know, I dig that country. And I really like that. Well, I think they got a chance, don't they, John?
Oh, they do. They have a very good chance. They won their first two matches. They lost their third, but they really, at that point, they didn't need to win.
Right.
They had already advanced to the knockout round. So, and I want this to be put on the record.
Okay.
That I really believe that if U.S. was in the tournament right now, I think I'd be rooting for Mexico anyway.
I would also, because of their mistreatment at the hands of some individual that I will not name.
So,
I think they've been treated poorly. I would do the same for the Canadians if that was the only choice also, I must say. And I'm not even that fond of Canadians. No offense, Canadians.
So, I would have to agree that it'll be a to-be-continued. We look forward to talking about this. The tournament itself, actually, there's one match today. Don't ask me. Maybe two. But there's the knockout round starts today at 9 o'clock. And so that's something that we can, right away, here we are. Be able to talk about it, and it will continue. The tournament will continue through the middle of July. So,
there's a lot
of shtick going on here. I'm going to go ahead.
There is. I was just going to say, we talked about this in some past shows, but we talked about animals in sports and animal interference in games and stuff like that. I don't know. I just really got a kick out of this little YouTube video here, and I thought for the hell of it, I'd just put it in there. I've got to find other pastimes other than watching baseball fights. I'm feeling a little bad about that.
You need some balance.
I think, John.
The animals provide.
Thank you. I do too. So I thought, well, get it out there and put it in there, and maybe that'll reset my internal whatever this is that I'm dealing with. Okay.
Well, so I can tell you right now that I went to the ball game Thursday. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about any withdrawal symptoms I might have, because I haven't gone to one since then. But that's another story.
Oh, well, yeah. And before we get to withdrawal symptoms and such things, John, would you tell us about the Premonti Brothers sandwiches?
I completely forgot about those sandwiches.
They're almost famous.
Oh, almost famous. True. Yeah. So the deal is that the Premonti sandwich is sort of like, if you don't get sides with a Premonti sandwich.
No, why don't you get sides?
Because the sides are on the sandwich.
In the sandwich.
They are the contents of the sandwich. They are an integral part of the sandwich. So
yeah.
The thing about the sandwich is that it's got a variety of layers. And I think the critical layer, which provides with the obviously putting the French fries on the sandwich, we've got meat of your choice.
Yeah.
We've got provolone cheese.
Okay.
We've got then the typical, what you'd say, putting its garbage on a sandwich, French fries. But the critical piece for this sandwich is the coleslaw. The coleslaw has a secret spice seasoning. It is allowed to basically the seasoning, and they let it store for like well over about 24 hours. So they make sure.
Hey, John, mayo based or oil, vinegar and oil?
All vinegar and oil.
Oh, that's my favorite coleslaw.
Yeah.
Man, I love coleslaw that way.
The thing about it is that when you bite into the sandwich, you don't. And by the way, the bread we didn't talk about. It is an Italian soft crust bread, thick bread. But what makes the bread is that it's white, but it's like the bread acts as a seal on the content. So you don't feel like when you bite into it that the sandwich is going to squeeze out on you or it's going to end up on, you know, on the table.
I gotcha.
It keeps the contents intact.
Okay, it contains. Which is very important. It contains. Yes. Oh, man, that is good. And now you made a faux Premonti sandwich. We got the art for that right in here in the show notes.
We'll
pass that on to the users. That's a good-looking sandwich you made. Is that a facsimile?
Well, it's my breakfast version. It's sort of like they need a breakfast sandwich. So what I did is I made what I call a Premonti breakfast sandwich. And what I did with my sandwich was I ended up putting it on an English muffin or onion roll.
Yeah, good-looking.
What I did is what I do with my I take one egg. And I mix it up, and I put some fried rice in it. Fried rice adds a little a crunch to it. It adds a little flavor to it. And then I make it up as a scrambled egg, and I put it into a saucer so that it'll be flat. So this is a no-brain sandwich. You just pop it in the damn microwave, put it in there for a minute, put it out. And then what I did is I finish up that minute, I put myself a piece of cheese on top of that.
Ooh.
And then what I did is I kind of nuked a couple of the French fries that I had left over from when I got a gyro sandwich a couple days before.
Nice.
And put those – and then what I do is rather than putting coleslaw, I put kimchi.
Wow.
So kimchi can be used – it's a pickled
cabbage.
And that it can be used in a variety of ways. You can eat it straight. It's pretty hot. It's got
a red spice on it. It's got lots of garlic and it's pickled.
Yeah,
and fermented.
It's a staple in Korea.
Yep.
So the thing is that it can serve as as eating it straight. It can be a condiment or it can be like lettuce. So what I'm doing is I'm putting it sort of like rather than the coleslaw, I put kimchi on it, not a lot, and I end up with this Premonti Brothers look-alike knockoff sandwich.
It's a bro show knockoff because I see the picture here and you've got the very picture of the very shirt you just described earlier in the show with our mugs on it.
Yeah.
And you've got it in the background and you and I are kind of looking over the edge of the plate at this sandwich.
Very good,
John. Great composition. I'm going to give you a golf clap on that. That was beautiful.
I appreciate that. My guard is up because when I get a clap like that, there's going to be a counterweight will take place later on, I'm sure, but I'm ready.
Oh, man, I tell you. Some people can't take a compliment. Some people can't take a compliment.
I'm going to interject this.
Oh.
And the fact is, if you notice, I haven't dissed you at all. And here we are 10 minutes into the show, and there's a reason for that.
It's 29 minutes into the show, by the way.
29. And the reason is because I've been catching hell from our listeners that I beat up on you too much.
Oh, really?
So as a result, I am making a supreme effort to resist any temptation to slam you, okay? Just letting you know that.
Okay. All right. This is not going to last long, though, because the next topic is going to be the first going to fly. That was, if either of us had any fur, it would fly, because you and I are going to talk about your baseball addiction.
Okay. I think we need to make it very clear that whether my baseball addiction is a positive or a negative addiction is something which we'll let the listeners determine for themselves. This is a personal thing.
Yeah. Okay, so this is the Addictive Baseball Fan 20-question test that you are about to take. Now, as I recall, the author of this test really spent a lot of time putting this together and even put a little introductory paragraph here. If you are concerned as to whether you are an addictive baseball fan, I suggest that you answer the following questions with complete candor. Please write the answers on a separate piece of paper so that no evidence is left on the page. Your baseball addiction is a private matter between you and the test. Now, that is so disturbing on so many levels, I don't know where to start. First of all, it almost sounds like you wrote this, but I'm going to withhold judgment on that. But whoever wrote this has anthropomorphized the test itself like it's a person between you and the test. This is so troubling, but I'm going to have to ignore that. We got 20 questions to get through.
So do
you want me to ask the questions and then you'll answer? Is that how this goes?
Bring it on. Some of these questions might require further explanation. Some of them can be a rather no with a small quip.
Are you qualified and unbiased enough to answer questions about the questions?
Do I need to stand here and put my hand on a Bible and before I start this or not?
Not the Bible. You know the book I want your hand on.
Oh, the Baseball Encyclopedia.
No.
Oh.
You know the book. Come on. As a Path.
Oh, God. Yeah. You know,
yeah, the God book, the God baseball book. Yeah, let's just write you in. You've already had your hand on it. You took a solemn oath. You're gonna be unbiased and tell the truth. Continue.
Okay,
here we go. Number one, do you watch in person or on TV, listen on radio, or read baseball literature without realizing the effect it has on your life and those around you?
Well, I think the answer to that is yes. I do happen to have the TV on with the MLB Network as we have the shows going on. I wouldn't say I do this all the time, but...
Oh, God. You got MLB on right now?
Yeah. I got to keep track of the scores from last night.
That's damning, my friend.
I think, the answer to another one of the questions.
Wow. So wait a minute. Okay, so in other words, yes.
Yes.
Do you have a separate piece of paper?
No. I don't believe in writing answers down.
Yeah, okay. This is called incriminating evidence, isn't it?
Well, let's just say that I take the easy route out and I just write down the question and the answer that I do know, because I just assume the rest of them are yes.
Yeah, you're just going to write down the no's if there are any. Oh, this is getting so sick. I can't believe it. Okay, so first of all, you're watching MLB while we're doing a show.
I would like to point out that some of these questions are like soft tosses that I think a majority of just any sports fan would say yes to. So I want to point that out. I think there's some soft tosses in here.
All right, number two. Do you often ask for the results of baseball games you are not attending yourself?
Yeah, I mean, if I run into another guy at baseball, what are you going to do? You're going to say hi, or you're going to say, well, how did the Cubs do? You know, it's just a way of basically introducing yourself.
It's a way of saying hello.
Yeah, it's a hello. Like, you see a Cub fan, and you say, hey, you don't say, how's the weather? How are you feeling? You say, what did the Cubs do this afternoon? Okay.
Wow. Now,
it's perfectly normal.
Okay, perfectly normal. And I'll just take a brief side trip here because this week I discovered something interesting. You remember our mutual friend Mark Halberstadt, the guy who did those Chinese medicine treatments on you? Remember? Okay. Mark discovered something fascinating that if a person swears and then speaks, whatever speech they give, whatever the topic is clearer and easier to understand and follow. In other words, the brain clears itself by swearing. So, and he gave several examples, of a couple people, saying hi to each other in the street. And it reminded me kind of this thing you were doing there. He was like, "Hey, asshole, how you doing? What's up with that?" And the other guy goes, "Motherfucking son of a bitch, I don't know." And it's just kind of like they're just spitting out terrible swearing to get their brains clear.
It's like
And
clear your throat. That's all it is.
so maybe baseball kind of does the same
Yeah,
thing.
I think it can. I think it starts the juices flowing in hopefully the right
Okay.
direction.
Okay, the brain chemistry improved. So, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, number three. Do you sometimes get excited watching or reading about baseball when you are alone? Oh man, this is
Yeah, well,
bad.
Bottom. Hey,
Wait a
look,
minute.
I live
Double
alone. What am I
meaning.
supposed to do? Am I supposed to grab somebody from out the street and say, by the way, before I get too excited, would you come up here and stay with me for a little while? You know what? I could maybe use this line down Rush Street.
Yeah, I'm thinking you might go to the Viagra Triangle and try that.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Oh
Okay, so
man.
the answer to that one's yes.
Number four, do you ever have arguments with family members about the cost of your baseball habit?
I would say this is a soft yes. Number one, it's something that I lived in the past. I'm right now, I don't have any other members that really personally know how much my cost of baseball is. When my wonderful wife was alive, there were moments when it was brought up, I would have to say. So I give it a soft yes.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm a family member who is around you a good amount, but I've never said anything like that, I don't believe, have
You
I?
have not. And that's the reason that I call it a soft yes, because even I think, well, you have to understand that baseball is like, it's part of your, I assume it's part of your family budget. In other words, this is not discretionary.
Baseball is your,
There's not
John.
it's not a discretionary expense, okay?
While Marge was alive, baseball was your mistress, I would have to say.
I called, responded numerous times. Okay.
Five. Do you ever decide to limit yourself to attending a certain number of games over a period of time and go over the limit? Well, I know the answer to that.
That's yes, and I mean I think with the fact is that that's a normal thing that can happen. You go to the first game of a series. Let's say I'm going by.
I keep hearing you say normal throughout this process. Can we? Can, I don't. I do not think you know what that word means. Okay, to
I'll
quote
stop
Princess
using it,
Bride,
okay?
you can use it, but I don't
Regular
think you know what it
behavior.
means.
Okay.
Well, oh, you're going to go with that, are you? Okay. All right. Look. Okay.
Okay, the
Now,
answer is yes.
but I know you're trying to dodge some of my probing on these things, but I have to say, I think that if the answer to this is you do set a limit, but I'm afraid it's a lower limit, not a higher limit. If you don't see 50 baseball games in a year, you're a pretty unhappy guy.
Yeah, I mean, I set a goal, but right now with my health, I call what I have what I call the baseball barometer. So, for example, when
Oh.
somebody says to me, "How are you feeling?" I don't want to go. I don't feel need to go through all the details as to how I feel. What I do is I say, "I've been to 30 games so far. That's my base," and I say, "That's my baseball barometer. I'm doing pretty good."
Well, this reminds me a great deal of our mother's family. When you ask them how they're doing, they tell you what the weather is.
Yeah.
They don't want to talk about their feelings, so they talk about the weather, but the way they talk about the weather tells you how they feel. Yeah, that's a
I'm
Daniel
a numbers
trait.
guy, so 30's enough. I don't need to give
Okay.
any. I don't need
All
to
right. All
give
right.
any quality to the 30. Good games, bad games,
Games.
games.
Wow. Okay, number six. Do you ever want to do a baseball-related activity when you're angry, frustrated, or uptight?
It's baseball can be an anecdote. I cannot deny that.
Antidote.
Anecdote, sorry. Too, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think so. It's your go-to anecdote.
That's a good malprop. I'll have to use that again.
Yeah.
Okay, so the deal is, I'm going to give you one example. And this is kind of, let's just say that within an hour.
How disturbing is this?
This is kind of sobering. This is not funny. This is scary. This is scary.
Okay.
I got a call from my the guy who did the colonoscopy on me, telling me that I have rectal cancer.
Oh.
Within an hour, guess where I am?
Watching baseball.
No, more than I'm at the ballpark.
Yeah.
And I'm making phone calls from the ballpark.
Saying, hey, I got cancer.
Yes.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Okay.
So right. I'm not saying I'm addicted, but that's the answer to that is a definite yes. Maybe capitalize that yes.
Yeah, I was going to say uppercase, bold. Mm-hmm. All right. Wow. Okay, that is sobering. You're right. Number 7, do you need to look at baseball information at a specific hour daily?
Well, I could probably very easily answer that question no, because it's a specific. Because the fact is that it depends upon when I wake up. Because, you see, I check the scores before I get out of bed.
So, technically, that's not a specific hour, but that is a very specific routine centered around time.
So you could, I guess I'm going to have to begrudgingly say yes.
Okay, so we still don't have a no.
Yeah,
and we're
right.
At number 8. Have you ever decided to stop following baseball entirely for a specific period of time and then not kept your promise to yourself or others?
That I can say definitely yes. I'm
surprised. I'm surprised. Wait a minute. Did you make that promise to Marge?
Yes. And here's what
happened. You made it to me about 4 weeks ago. Now that I think about it, I'm not going to watch any baseball this weekend. I need to go cold turkey. And then what did you do? The next day, you went and saw baseball. You were at a baseball game.
You know, but the problem with the thing with Marge is we went to Australia for 3 weeks, and what I would do is I'd sneak out and go to and back in the day, by 2000, you could go to, you know, places that would have the computers, and you could get on the internet and
cafes.
I would the internet cafes, and I'd sneak into one of them and get scores.
Wow.
So on the slide.
Wow.
Very bad.
Okay. Yeah, okay, we got a yes on that one, that's for sure. Well, Marge and myself.
Yes.
Okay, number nine. Do you ever sneak to find out a baseball game result and not tell others what you are doing? You just gave an example of it.
Well, in addition to the fact, I've kind of gone one step further than that. I've actually...
How?
I've sneaked out, not for a game result, but to go to a game and not tell somebody. And then come back and say, I was just in the bathroom for a while.
God damn it, John. You should not do that.
Yes, I did.
Oh,
I did.
That's a hell of a long shit you took.
No, the thing was that the pitcher was pretty quick. The game was less than 2 hours.
That's still a long shit. Or am I seeing something wrong here? Oh man,
well, maybe multiple trips, and I kind of
you're fucking with me. You didn't.
Oh, that's
do that.
The truth. I've told people that.
Oh man.
Here's what I'll give you: the exact situation. The exact situation is that there's a pitcher named Mark Burley pitching that afternoon. I described this. I said, "Look, I've not told anybody. I've left as if I'm going to the bathroom. I come back less than 2 hours later, and nobody's missed me. They figure, here I'm back, and I'm going to a ball game.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Well, that sounds like the time I shaved off half my beard and no one noticed.
Mm.
Okay. All right. You kind of convinced me on that. Still, very disturbing. Number 10. Do you sometimes watch baseball or read about it to make yourself happy?
Yes, I would agree. I mean, it's a good tonic for depression. okay. or for anything less than that. But when you're not feeling a little blue.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think there's too much that needs to be said. I just keep a – actually, what I do is based upon the level of sadness I have – usually I try to keep one more than one book I'm reading. And so based upon how bad I feel, that might make a decision as to which of the books I pick up and continue reading.
And when we say book, we mean baseball book.
Is there any other book?
I rest my case. Wow.
Okay.
Are you following baseball more now than you did 5 years ago?
That I would have to say no.
Because it's not possible. Okay, thank you.
One no.
One no. And I must say, it's a pretty subjective no, okay?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. I'm glad that, you know, John, you're being honest. I really appreciate the candor. Yeah, this is good. Number 12, do you ever lie? Well, first of all, we can stop right there. You're Daniels, right?
I would. Go ahead.
Continue. Do you ever lie about whether you have gone to a baseball game in the afternoon?
I can say that I don't do that anymore. I don't lie about going to the game.
Because you don't have to.
I don't have to.
But you did when you were married to Marge.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I should say when Marge was alive.
Lying through omission. If I was cornered, I would say, but I would. Well, let's move on.
You lied. Okay. Number 12, you got a. Yeah, I'm afraid you got a yes. Okay. Number 13. Have you ever forgotten to do something as a result of being involved in baseball?
Yeah. This can be, you got to be real careful. I'd say the answer to that is yes. There have been several situations where I've decided, you know, one time one even more extreme, what I did is I thought I lost the tickets to my season tickets.
Yeah.
And I went to the box office and gave them a song and dance. I said, look, I lost my tickets. Can I have replacement tickets? What I forgot is I gave them to some business associates. This was a business thing. I went and I basically, then that guy gave them to somebody else. And I get to my seats and I said, well, they have counterfeit tickets because I lost them. Not realizing that I just basically blew off a business relationship. So I forgot. It's kind of a variation on a theme.
Well, that is like, well, first of all, the ways this is fucked up is too many to count. But
this answers more than one question.
Yes, this answers like half of the questions here. I think we have to move on. That was number 13. We should dwell on that. Number 14. Have you ever discussed baseball I can't believe I'm asking this. Have you ever discussed baseball at inappropriate times and embarrassed members of your family?
Okay. This question is yes, but I am going to have a counterpoint to this one.
Oh, you're
going
to try and defend this behavior?
I'm going to kind of point out where I've had family members.
Not your fault.
Actually, I've had family members try to embarrass me in front of other people by bringing up baseball.
Oh, let's hear
it. I had a certain brother of mine, who remain nameless, who manages a restaurant. He's managed restaurants. And what he did.
I wonder who it is.
I come into the restaurant, and he immediately sees me and says, hang here because I want to collect all the staff together so that they can meet you. And what he does is he proceeds, and what they've done, they've just redecorated the office, the restaurant with new photos. And he says, my brother knows everything about baseball, and he's going to proceed to tell you exactly who's in this picture that had a baseball player and two other in it, and not only who they are, but when this picture was taken, under what situation. He did that cold to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
And?
Well,
you didn't know.
I did know.
Okay, that
was Joey Brown, George Raft, and Ernie Orsatti was the ball player in 1934.
Oh.
Detroit playing the Tigers, Detroit playing the Cardinals in the World Series. Now, I didn't know whether it was a home game or an away game, and I felt very bad about that.
That was it. Yeah.
Because I should have taken a look at the uniform the guy's wearing and see whether it's a gray or a white, although it was a black and white uniform.
But let's try to get into the details. Hard to tell gray from white in those pictures.
Okay, so The bottom line is, yeah, maybe I have embarrassed members of my family, but my family members have actually gone out of their way to embarrass me, too.
I don't, I'm going to have to call foul on that one. I didn't say his name. This brother, I think, was trying to give you creds. I think he was propping you up there a little bit. I don't think this was to embarrass you. I think from his point of view, this was to make himself look good. And not at your expense, but it's a win-win, I thought. So I have trouble seeing where this is someone trying to embarrass you.
Okay, okay.
Well, you're agreeing. You're very...
Yeah, well...
They really beat you up at work about wailing on me, didn't they? They gave you a lot of trouble about that, it sounds like.
Oh, did they ever.
Wow, okay. 15. Do you tend to think people who are not interested in baseball are boring and stuffy? Do you, for instance, start talking to yourself while they're talking to you?
I go through, I have a lineup game, and I kind of go through lineups. I think about who won the World Series. I sort of ask myself, when I get caught in a situation like that where I'm maybe like at a party and I say, God, what am I doing here? Well, who won the pennant in 1944? You know, I kind of do that to kind of ease my mind and allow me to be more human, more sociable. The other thing, let's think about this. There are a lot of people that have interest other than baseball, but most interesting people do have some mild interest in baseball. I mean, there's been some, well, that's all I'll say.
Wow.
Yes.
Hmm. Okay. You're saying you want to move on. I'm not sure I want to.
Okay. I'm willing.
If you don't mind.
My soul is open. I mean, I'm an open book. That's all I can say.
Okay. First of all.
It's a baseball book, by the way.
Yeah, we knew that. I think we knew that. Okay. So, you brought up the topic or mentioned very briefly, you know, the social process and your engagement in it. And so I think it's important to state for the record that this behavior and these behaviors we're discussing here do not make you a sociopath. Okay.
Okay.
So I don't want you to feel that way, you know, or, you know, you're a baseball-aholic probably. It looks like we're almost done here and you've got one no and all the rest are yes. So what do you need to qualify? What's the number?
15 would be an indication that you're a baseball addict.
Oh, Jesus.
15 or more. Okay.
Yeah. So we know the answer to that question already.
Pretty well. We got a couple more to go to really go just to make it very obvious.
Yeah, we do. We do. But
just to make it official.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. All right. I'm troubled by several thoughts, but I'm not going to bring them up. Do you tend to think, do you find the need to talk about the upcoming baseball season sooner than most other people?
I actually have a date in which I consider to be the point in time which you officially should start talking about baseball.
What is that date, John?
That's the date of the Super Bowl.
That's pretty early, don't you think? Or is it?
Yeah, it is. Actually, that's when I basically – it's my coming out party every day, every year.
Super Bowl
is to be relished for the fact that it signifies the end of football.
As soon as it's over, then no more football.
No more football. The coast is clear.
John, we're talking about you. Okay, the question is, do you find the need to talk? I think you do find the need to talk much earlier than that, but you don't.
That's what I said officially. That's when I do. But I consider baseball to be a 12-month sport. So as a result, there's baseball. And believe me, this is not me suffering from a serious addiction. This is what's happened to baseball. It's the way baseball happens now. It's become a year-round deal.
They're catering to people like you.
Yeah, because I go to baseball, you know, through November. You got the Arizona Fall League. Then you've got the Winter League starting. And the Winter Leagues will carry all the way into February. And I can tell you right now that most serious fans consider there's two dates. The date pitchers and catchers report. So somebody will say to me, hey, February 15th. Pitchers and catchers report. Now, the severe fan has what they call Truck Day.
What's
now,
that?
Truck Day, that's the day in which the club will load up all their stuff into a truck and take it down to Florida or Arizona. And there are, like in Boston, there is actually it's a celebration where they'll have 4,000 or 5,000 people there to actually see the truck off as it heads south.
Okay.
That's called Truck Day, and that's before, obviously, the 15th.
Right. Do you think it would be difficult to enjoy life, this is number 17, if you never saw or read about baseball again? Jesus. Self-evident.
Yes, it would be difficult. I don't that covers in so many ways that I don't know if we can even.
No, we don't have time for that.
Yeah.
Too big. Number 18, do you often watch baseball or on TV or radio during dinner?
Well, what am I going to do? I mean, there's baseball on at dinner time. So,
okay.
I mean, if there wasn't a game on, I could answer that no. But
anytime you eat, there is a game on. Okay, nice. Nice logic. I like that. Okay, so that's an unreasonable question anyways. Number 19, do you find it difficult to leave or turn off a baseball game before it is over? Impossible.
Yes, I do. It's amazing. I could go to a game. You know, some games are more interesting than others. But I would have to say, I feel if I, for some reason, you know, I've had a variety of reasons where I've had to leave games because of people.
Well, they're talking about radio and TV. They're not talking about being there. Oh, it says leave or turn off. Leave or turn off. Sorry, you're right.
Yeah, I would say that I would say that the answer to that is yes, definitely, with leaving your game. Turning off a game, it's a little bit different because you could always turn it back on.
Okay.
That's pretty sick, I guess, but
well. No, I mean, there's a certain logic to that.
Yeah.
Number 20, and here it is. Do you ever watch or read baseball because you can't stop worrying?
Well, I think that before when I gave you the thing with my news of cancer is a good example where you worry, and what you do is you go to your comfort food. My comfort food is baseball. So I have to answer that question. Yes. I'm sorry. I have to.
Don't apologize. I don't think anyone needs to apologize for having a positive addiction. Provided, you know, no one gets killed.
Yeah, I mean, I have caused harm to others in any sort of way, whether it be emotional, physical, mental.
Well, we do that just breathing, so we're Daniels, right?
Yeah, I think what the
thing John, is this all? There's just 20 questions?
Is that all there is? Yes.
Okay. You don't have another one up your sleeve?
No, I would like to say that I'm having candor here. I'm the one who's basically violating the rules of this. I've not left this personal, but I would like to remind other individuals who, you know, they can, you know, obviously get this on through your notes, your media notes.
Yeah, it'll be in the show notes. Yeah,
it'll be in the show notes. So what we have here is, I just want to warn people that consider when you take this test, you might want to consider it to be a personal thing. And you might not want to have it out. So we've done something. What I've done is not necessarily what I would recommend to everyone.
But doing it on a podcast?
Yeah. Well, I would not recommend you just say like, oh, hey, here. With a bunch of your guys, hanging around with a bunch of guys, say, hey, start asking me these questions.
It might prove embarrassing. They may take a step back, as you said.
I mean, I look
so
at it
19,
as a,
19. You scored 19.
20, yeah.
Jesus. Okay, John, you got a great segment. I'm glad we did this. This is fun. A few surprises in there, but I believe that you talked to our friend, Vincent Anthony Lauder.
Listener, participant, honorary bro, best friend.
Yeah.
All those good things.
Let's hear it. So, what's his groaner? He's got a groaner for us.
Yeah, Vince came through in the clutch last night, and here's what the groaner is. What do you call a group of rabbits stepping backwards?
John, I don't know. What do you call a group of rabbits stepping backwards?
A receding hairline.
I like that one.
Yeah, I did too. That's the reason I remembered it. I didn't even have to write it down.
Thank you, Vince. Thank you, John. Great work.
Yeah, I'm thinking about going to the game this afternoon, but, you know, I'm not sure.
Yeah, you are. You're sure. You know you're going. Don't bullshit me. I will talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Let's go.